Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We thank God for His many, many blessings to us.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of God this morning, knowing that Lord said where two or three are gathered together in His name, He would be in their midst.
Amen.
Truly, we need Him in our midst this morning.
Amen.
Amen. We're so thankful for His mercy and His grace and for His word, and thankful for the Church of God. So we're going to look to the Lord, as is our duty, to pray that He would have His way in this service.
Amen.
Amen. Dear God, our Heavenly Father.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, we thank You, dear God, for Your goodness, Father, to us.
Amen.
We thank You because we know, Lord, that You are a God in heaven who sees and knows all things.
Amen.
We know, dear Father, that You are looking on us, dear Father. And Lord, we want to do that which is pleasing and right in Your sight in all things. Lord, know, dear God, that it was Your plan, dear Father, to have a people, dear God, Lord, who were void of sin, dear God. It was Your will, dear God, to have a people who would worship You in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Lord, it was Your will, dear Father, for you to have an obedient people, dear God. And so, Father, we thank You, dear God, for giving Your dear Son to shed His blood on a cross that we might be saved, that we might be Your children, that we might be sons of God. And Lord, You said in Your word, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so, Lord, we solicit, dear God, Your leading, dear God, us this morning in this service, dear Father. Lord, and in all things, Lord, we pray, dear God, for those who are absent this morning, dear God. And Lord, we miss them dearly, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, a special prayer for our pastor, Sister Jenkins, dear God. Father, we pray, dear God, Your touch upon her body, dear Father. Lord, we know, dear God, that she's afflicted, dear Father. But Lord, we know, Lord, that there's no affliction, dear God, that's so great that
Amen.
You cannot relieve it.
Amen.
There is no
Amen.
Sickness, dear God, so dire, dear Father, but that, Lord, You cannot banish it even with a thought.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we're praying in the name of Jesus, God, that You would touch her this morning. Touch her, Lord. You know, dear Father, how she walks before You, God. Lord, You know, Lord, she is Your humble servant, dear Father. Lord, You know, dear God, that she is the watchman on the wall of this congregation, dear God.
Amen.
Lord, You know how she labors in word, dear Father. Lord, You know, Lord, of her burden for souls, dear Father. Lord, You know of her compassion, dear God, for those who have not. And so, Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, that You would visit her, Lord, where she is this morning, dear God.
Amen.
Lord, and pray, dear God, that You would, Lord, overshadow her, dear Father. Pray, Lord, that You would strengthen her, dear God, in her body. Pray, dear God, that You would heal her, dear God. We know, Lord, she's going to give You the glory for it all, dear God.
Amen.
Lord, we're praying also, dear God, for Sister Millicent, dear Father, who's afflicted in her body. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, dear God, that You would touch her in like manner, dear God. Lord, we know, dear Father, that she's looking to You, dear God, knowing, dear God, that You are her strength and her shield, dear Father. And so, Lord, we're praying in the name of Jesus, Lord, that You would also go to her rescue, dear Father. Lord, we're talking about Your children, Lord, who are faithful, dear God, in Your service. Your children, Lord, who would be here, Lord, if there were any way, dear God, that they could be here. And so, Father, we're praying, dear God, that You would go to them, dear God. Help them to know, dear God, that we're lifting them up in prayer, dear God.
Amen.
Lord, not only by word, dear God, but in our hearts, dear Father. And help them to know, dear God, that we love them, dear God, and we miss them. But we know, Lord, You love them more. And You're able to do for them, Lord, what we cannot do.
Amen.
Lord, have Your way, Lord, in them, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that You'd remember those who might still be on their way, dear Father. We pray, Lord, that You would give them traveling mercies, dear God, over the highway, dear Father. Lord, pray, Lord, that You would bring them safely along. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are praying, dear God, that You would remember Sister Lillian in a special way, dear Father. Lord, we haven't seen her come in yet, dear Father, but Lord, we know, dear God, that Lord, if she's able, Lord, to be here, Lord, she'll be here. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless her, dear God, and give her a touch this morning. Strengthen her, dear God, as we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would remember, Lord, our lost, our unsaved loved ones, dear God, those who are lost and undone without thee, dear Father.
Yes.
Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would speak to their hearts, dear God, knowing, dear Father, that, Lord, without thee, Lord, they have no hope in this world, dear God. And so, Father, we pray, dear God, that they would seek you while you may be found. Lord, that they would call upon you while you are near, Lord. Father, that they would listen, dear God, as your spirit strives with them, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just help them, dear God, to find thee, dear God, before it's everlasting too late, as we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember Brother Mann in a special way, dear Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'd remember his family, dear God. Lord, we know, dear God, that they lost a loved one, and so, Father, we're praying, Lord, your comfort upon that family in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them, be their consolation, dear God. Lord, we know, Lord, that they were traveling, dear God. We don't know if they're back yet, dear God, but if they are traveling now, Lord, pray, Lord, that you would give them traveling mercies, dear Father. Strengthen Brother Mann in a very, very special way, dear God. We know, dear God, that he's not in the house of God, dear Father. Lord, he misses it, dear God. So we know, dear God, that he's thinking, dear Father, of us, dear God, even as we're thinking of him. And so we pray, Lord, that you bless him, dear God, and be his supply. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Sister Holmes being here this morning, dear God. Lord, every time we see Sister Holmes coming, dear God, Lord, eagerly coming to the house of God, dear Father, to hear your word, to worship you in the beauty of holiness, Father, Lord, we are encouraged, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you would just continue to bless her, be with her, dear God. Lord, we thank you, dear God, even in our own Bible study, midweek service, dear God. Lord, how she's always so thankful, dear God, to have been allowed to be on the phone, to be a part of this Bible study. Lord, we want to be that thankful in our hearts also, dear God, always, dear Father, to thee, Lord, for your eternal word, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would continue to bless and have your way. Remember Brother Byrene this morning, dear Father. We thank you for him, dear Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for him, dear God. Lord, for how you have touched him in every way, dear God, and Lord, how you have strengthened his heart, Lord, in thee and in your word. Lord, we pray, dear God, your anointing be on him this morning, dear God. Remember his family in a very special way, dear God. Lord, remember the requests, dear God, that he brings for his children, for his companion, dear God, even for his companion's family, dear Father. Lord, on behalf, dear Father, of saints lifting up their prayers, even on behalf of Judy's family, dear God. Lord, we're persuaded, Lord, there are members of her family, Lord, that have been blessed, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our intercessory prayers, dear God, on behalf of others. We thank you, Lord, for hearing us, dear God. Lord, when we pray, Lord, not only for ourselves, but for others. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just continue to have your way. Bless Brother Byrene in a very, very special way, dear God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for Sister Smith, dear God, being here. Thank you, Lord, for her being, dear God, present in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done for her, dear God, body and soul, dear God, mind and spirit, dear Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, you continue to be with her, dear God, be with her sister, dear God, as we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Lord, be her daughter, her grandchildren, dear Father. Lord, you know, Lord, how she walks before them and the example, dear God, that she endeavors to be before them. So, Lord, we pray, dear God, that they are taking notice, dear God, of her life. And pray, dear God, that they would seek you while you may be found. Lord, remember those who are in the media room, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless, dear God, and be with them, dear Father. We thank you, Lord, for their steadfast service for thee, dear God, that others might hear the word of God, dear Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, you would continue to bless them, dear Father. Be with them, strengthen them, help them to know, Lord, that their labor is not in vain in the Lord, dear God. Lord, we're persuaded that they know that, dear God, but we just want them to know, Lord, that we are thankful for them, dear God. Father, we pray, dear God, that you would remember our children, dear God. Lord, we didn't have many of our children in Sunday school this morning, dear Father. Lord, you know the reason why, dear Father. We don't know, but we're still praying for them, dear Father. Lord, knowing, dear God, that you're able to bless them where they are. Knowing, dear God, that you're able to stir up their minds, dear God, by way of what they have been taught, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bring it to their remembrance, Lord, because in times like these, Lord, it's so important that our children, dear God, learn of thee. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just continue to have your way. Blessing this service. Remember Sister Carol, dear God, this morning. Amen. Lord, as she is here, dear God, in place of Sister Millicent, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would bless and strengthen her. We thank you for her, dear God. Amen. Pray, dear God, your continued blessings upon her. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done for her. We thank you, Lord, for her labor, dear God, for souls, dear Father. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for her concern and her burden, dear God, for those, dear God, who seem to not want to hear the word of God, seem to want to reject the word of God, those who seem to just want to cut off the flow of even hearing the word of God. Lord, we beg, Lord, your mercy, dear Father. Lord, even as Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would speak to their hearts, dear God. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would continue to strive, Lord, with those, dear God, who think that they don't need to hear, when they really do need to hear what thus saith the Lord. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would remember Sister India in a special way, dear God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would be with her. Bless and strengthen her in thee, dear God. Lord, we know, dear God, that, Lord, she needs you every hour, even as we do, dear Father. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help her, dear God, to not forsake the assembling of herself together with the saints, dear God. Lord, for by assembling ourselves together, dear God, in your name, under your word, Lord, we receive strength. Amen. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of thee. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember Sister India and her family in a very special way. Remember Sister Kiba, dear God, we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to see her too, dear Father. So, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help her, Lord, to know that we miss her, dear God. And Lord, there's no one here, dear God, who can fill her space, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would speak to her heart, dear God, and bring her on out, dear God. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, Lord, you remember Sister Sandy, dear God, Sister Carolyn, dear Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, you strengthen them, dear God, and keep them encouraged as we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, give them the physical strength, dear God, to be able to come out to the house of God, dear Father. This we beg of thee, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just remember your people. Lord, remember Brother Jackson in a special way, dear Father. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for him, dear God, our Sunday school teacher, dear God. Pray, Lord, you continue to bless and encourage his heart, dear Father. We thank you, Lord, for what he is, Lord, in this congregation, dear Father. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for how you use our brethren, dear Father. Lord, to serve you, dear God, and to help the other saints within the congregation, dear God. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for our police officer. Thank you, Lord, for Officer Todd, dear God. Pray, Lord, that you would remember him, dear Father. Pray, Lord, that you would bless. We believe he has a birthday coming up soon, dear Father. And so, Lord, we're thankful, dear God, that you will allow him to see that birthday. We thank you, Lord, for keeping him safe, dear Father. Lord, pray, dear God, that you'd remember him, remember his family in a special way, dear God. Lord, just continue to bless us, dear Father. Lord, pray, dear God, that you would have your way, Lord, in this service. For, Lord, we're not standing here, dear Father, in order to be seen. Lord, Father, Lord, if it were my will, dear God, I'd be back in the back, dear God, helping out in some way, dear God. It's not to be seen, but, Lord, you know. And so, Lord, I'm going to serve you with all of my might. I'm going to do your will, dear God, whatever your will is. Pray, dear God, your touch, dear Father. But Lord, I need you this morning, dear God.
Yes,
pray, Father, that you would just have your way, dear God. In my heart, Lord, be glorified today. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Worship the Lord, page 9. This is the day.
Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Worship the Lord. This is the day. Page 9. This is the day.
This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, truly, we thank God. I thank God for being here. Amen. Good to see you come in, Sister Webb. Amen. Thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for being here. And I take a deep breath and a deep sigh, but I truly thank the Lord to be here today. I realize that this is the day He has made, and He has made all days. And I rejoice in all days now, and I thank the Lord for that. And as I come before you this day, I take it not lightly to stand before you in the presence of the Lord and realize that it's a privilege and an honor always to be found in the house of God doing the will of God. And truly continue to, as it's been said, remember those that aren't able to be here today, because we know that they would be if they could be. Most of all, we're here. And as Cornelius said to Peter, he said, we're all here. Now, tell us what the Lord has given you. So the Lord has given each and every one of us something today. And we're going to lift up Sister Blake in a special way, knowing that she has to stand before us this day and give what the Lord has given to her. But we realize that I want to give her some encouragement even now, that the Lord told Joshua, I'll be with you as I was with Moses, so be thou very courageous. So be very courageous this morning, because the Lord said He would be with you just as He is with Minister Jenkins. Amen. Amen. So we thank the Lord. And as they are going to probably pass out a few song books to you, you know, I have a little butterflies in my belly. But pray for me too as I stand here. And it's not about how many we see in the seats. It's about who we stand before. And we stand before Almighty God. And we're here to do His will and what's pleasing in His sight. So if there was none in the pews and it was just me and Sister Blake standing up here, I would be still standing up here knowing that the Word of God has to come forth. Amen. out of our mouths, from our hearts and understanding. Okay. Well, this morning our responsive reading is going to be found in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Give you a few minutes to get to chapter 13. And then once you get to chapter 13 in Hebrews, you're going to go down to verses, starting with verse 12, and we're going to read through to 21. Hebrews chapter 13, starting at verse 12 through 21. Amen. Amen. And we'll read responsibly. It says, Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate.
Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach.
For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and with not with grief,
mm-hmm.
for that is unprofitable for you.
Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly.
But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner.
Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, together
make you perfect in every good work,
do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. We thank the Lord for the reading of his word this morning, realizing that this is a lesson that the Lord's going to open up to us with understanding this morning. And we ask that you would be prayerful in your heart and your mind for what you just read, and look for understanding and thorough knowledge from the word of God this day. Now we want to ask, do any have our prayer request now? Yes, okay. Well, we're here to take prayer requests this morning by word of mouth or uplifted hand. Any that have a request, make them known to the Lord this morning. Truly lift up. We have a lot that is going on. We have those that aren't feeling well, our ministers not well this morning. We have one of our song leaders not well this morning. And then we know that there's many other saints. No respect of person, there's other saints that aren't feeling well. Actually, I hadn't been well the last few days. Stomach was upset and kind of rolling a little bit, had me running back and forth. So I ask that the Lord, has touched me this morning, that I'm able to stand here, and realizing that others aren't able to be here for some of the same reasons. So there might be some type of bug going around in the stomach area, a little virus or something. So lift one another up in prayer. But most of all, we're here to have an understanding of those that are out of the ark of safety. We have loved ones that don't know the Lord. We have loved ones that are still out there in the world. The Lord told us we are not of the world. He has chosen us out of the world. So we can be thankful this morning to be chosen out of the world. So let us lift up our voices this morning in praise and honor to God who has delivered us, and we still have family members that need to be delivered. We still have neighbors that need to be delivered, co-workers that need to be delivered. These are ones that see our lives, so let us do what we can for the Lord. Amen. Sister Webb. Sister Regina, I see you.
Sad to say, because I've watched tears in my eyes, that these kids, and some of these young ladies, are even 14, 15 years old, who happens at teens. So pray for the parents, but also send an encouragement to this young generation. Let them know about the word of God. They can get saved before it's ever asked to. I don't want to be anyone lost. And I realize everybody's not going to be sure that upsets you and approaches you.
My Lord. Amen. 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 Sister Holmes. Amen. Amen. Brother Tony. Okay. Amen. 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 Brother Lebester.
Neighbors, I don't know if I wave at them, but
Amen. Sister Carol.
Remember, I got a phone call this morning. Asking for forgiveness, you know, as we were talking about on Wednesday night. I'm not going to call any names, but, you know, they are taking all ties from the Church of God from here at Wayne Avenue. They want no more part of it. So just remember them in prayer.
My Lord. My Lord. Sister Blake, anything special?
Just remember this hour of service.
Amen.
For those who are oxygen shut-in list, new converts, we want to see them thrive in the Lord. We don't want the enemy to take advantage of them. So remember our new converts much in prayer. Again, as Smith and Brother Tony said, remember Pastor James and Sister Millicent much in prayer. And remember me.
Amen. Amen. Well, we'll remember Sister Melita back there. We know she has a request, no doubt, for her family and loved ones. And keeping her in soul, body, and spirit. And likewise, Sister Lawrencine and Jaslyn. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Oh, do we have another song? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. They're going to help keep me together today because I don't do the deal. Amen.
We're going to do one and two. And we're going to do all four verses and then do the chorus.
Amen.
And you left your room this
morning.
Did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for worthy favor
as a shield today?
When you
met with great temptation. Did you think to pray? But his dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my Father? Dear, and my forgiven another who has crossed your way? When sore trials come upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, one of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Oh, how pray rest the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So in sorrow and in gladness, don't forget to pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we truly thank the Lord for that selection of song. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray. Amen. As we look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we come before thee in prayer and truly want to say thank you for this day that thou hast made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. Even though our hearts are made a little heavy, dear Father, for loved ones that are not feeling too well, and loved ones that are lost in sin, loved ones that have not surrendered their lives yet, we ask that thou would remember these conditions as we come before thee, and these come before you this morning around the throne of God, bringing their petitions. We ask that thou would hear from on high. Allow your spirit to guide and direct and rule this day in the services of God. We're truly thankful, Father, for all that you do for us and all that you have done. We're thankful in the name of Jesus, realizing that the blood of the Lamb that was atoned for our sins allows us the opportunity even now to come before thee with our petitions and our prayers on the behalf of others and loved ones. So we ask, Father, if you would hear from on high and touch those that need a touch this morning. We ask that thou would deliver those that need deliverance this morning. We ask that thou would bless those that need a blessing this day. Have thine own divine way in this service and allow each and every one to get their portion for being here this morning. Now we ask in a special way that you remember Minister Jenkins in a special way. We're truly thankful for her, dear Father, and all that she does and how you have blessed her, strengthened her, and kept her in body, soul, mind, and spirit. And we truly know if she were feeling well enough to be here, she would be here. Even in the littlest of strength, she would be here, or sickness, she would be here. So we ask that thou would look down with favor this morning and remember her in a special way and look down upon her with favor. We're thankful to see her husband that has come in this morning and faithful to be in the house of God and put up a request on behalf of his wife. Likewise, remembering her grandchildren in a special way and remembering Sister Maria and Brother DeAndre in a special way. We ask your blessings to be with this family continue to look down upon them with much favor. And we're thankful to see our loved ones that came in. And I'm sorry for not knowing first names, but we're thankful to see, and I believe it's Brother Tony's daughter that's here this morning, and thankful for her request and continuing to come to the house of God. But remember the prayer requests on her heart and for loved ones and for her own life, dear Father, that she'll continue to listen to your word and grow closer to thee. And likewise, the loved one by her side this morning, we ask you and beg it of thee to remember these two as they have pressed their way to the house of God this day. Continue to bless them, see them through, give them their heart's desire, allow them to know that you love them in a special and a mighty way. And we're likewise, we're thankful to see Sister Regina here this morning. We ask that I remember her in a special way and continue to bless her, guide and direct and see her through. And remember her in body, soul, mind, and spirit. Continue to carry her through, to continue to build her up where she may be weak. We ask that thou would look down with favor upon her homestead. We ask that thou remember her in a special and a mighty way. And likewise, we're thankful for Sister Lawrenceine being here this day, and we ask that thou remember her in a special way and continue to bless and guide and direct her soul, body, and spirit. Strengthen her footsteps as she goes to and fro. And likewise, Sister Smith this morning, we're thankful to see her in the house of God. Remember her many requests, dear Father. And we see the heaviness on our heart for loved ones that know thee not in the free pardon of their sin. Seeing the abuse to young children in these perilous times, realizing that perilous times brings on this type of behavior out of men and women in this life. So we ask that thou would have mercy on young people and that thou would speak to their hearts and minds, that mankind would get a hold of themselves and learn that they have to stand before thee in judgment for the things they have done in this life. So we ask that thou remember Sister Smith and her loved ones in a special way. Continue to remember her soul, body, and spirit as well. And we're thankful this morning to see Sister Holmes in our midst. And we ask that thou remember her in a special and a mighty way. Continue to bless her. Continue to bless her family members, her loved ones. Continue to look down upon them with much favor, dear Father. And we ask that thou remember Sister Holmes in body. We know that she presses her way to be here. And she even smiles through the pain. So we know that thou is able to bless and continue to bless her and see her through. And she's truly thankful to be in the house of God, to hear the word of God. Even as she said, the word of God on Wednesdays and the word of God this day. So we're thankful, dear Father, to know that she loves your word so much that she wants to be thankful for hearing it. And likewise, this morning we ask that thou remember Brother Levester in the house of God. Continue to bless him, see him through, look down upon him with favor. And as he's praying for neighbors and different ones, we ask that thou would continue to bless him and give him a pathway to their heart and to their mind, that he might be able to minister to them in some kind of way. We know that that's his desire. He hears the sin in their lives. He can see it as he goes in and out. So he's concerned and even troubled. So he's asking for guidance and help with his neighbors in a special way. So we ask that thou remember him in a mighty way and look down upon him with favor. Likewise, Sister Millicent, that's not able to be here this morning. Dear Father, we ask that thou remember her soul, body, and spirit. Continue to bless her. We know she needs a special touch from thee, not feeling well in her body. We ask that thou would look down with favor and grant blessings according to your riches and glory. And we ask that thou remember Sister Carol in a special way this morning. We're truly thankful for her being in the house of God. And we ask that thou remember her request. And she's concerned about a loved one that has maybe spoken even hastily, as the word of God says, with her voice. But we realize, dear Father, that you loved her, that you gave up your life for even this soul that knows not enough to reject thee. But we ask that thou will continue to have mercy upon them. Allow, speak to their heart, dear Father. Speak to their mind. Maybe they may change their thinking or their thoughts. Have mercy upon them in a special and a mighty way. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. And we ask that thou remember Sister Melita this morning and her family in a special way. And remembering Jaslyn that we've seen here today. And likewise, remember her companion, remember her household. Remember Sister Melita in body as well. And strengthen her where she may be a little weak and not feeling as well. But she's pressed her way to be here this day. And I saw Brother Pierre come in. Remember him in a special way. Look down upon him with favor. And I hear the the Belton family coming in, and we ask that thou remember them in a special way. Remember Sister Maria and the boys that are here this morning. Look down upon them with much favor. Brother Maurice, this morning, we ask that thou remember him in a special way. And I happen to look out, and I see Sister Lillian pressing her way in, and we ask that thou would remember her in a special way. We're thankful for all those that are pressing their way to the house of God this morning, realizing that your Spirit is faithful in allowing them to know that this is the Lord's day, and the Spirit of God is able to speak to souls and let them know, I should be in church. I should be hearing from the Lord this morning. So they have pressed their way to be to the house of God in being faithful. Now we ask that thou would look down with favor upon our dear minister this morning, Minister Sister Patricia Blake. We ask that thou remember her in a special way as you have given her something to speak to us this morning from your word. But we ask that thou would strengthen her soul, body, and spirit. We realize she wasn't feeling as good in the earlier or midweek of this week, but you have blessed her to be here this day. And for a purpose, she is here. And as we said earlier, as you were with Moses, you was with Joshua. And as you are with Sister Jenkins, you are with Sister Blake. So we're thankful to know you have no respect of person. You're able to touch and strengthen and guide and direct even her lips and her heart this morning to speak your word and speak a word that will lift our souls and lift our hearts and lift our minds and allow us to go forth out of here and be better servants unto thee. Now have thine own divine way. Bless us and strengthen us, O Father. Look down with favor upon us. Guide and direct us through these perilous times. Have us know that the church of God is the pillar and ground of all truth and understanding and righteousness, and that she is the mother of us all, trying to raise up holy children unto God, unto thee. So we ask that thou would bless mankind to have an understanding of why they're here, why they're standing in the church of God, why they're hearing the word of God, that the word of God will guide and direct our lives, that we will be found in favor of thee, and that we will walk and be perfect before thee. And your word is provided for that reason. So have us to be strong. Have us to have understanding this morning, looking down with favor. Not forgetting my family and loved ones far and near, we ask that thou remember them in a special way and look down upon them with favor. Speak to their hearts and minds, even those that know thee not, in the free pardon of their sins. Because judgment is for all mankind. So let us get it right now before that great judgment day when we have to leave this life. Where will we spend eternity? For Christ's sake, our prayer. Now bless your word. Strengthen us. Guide us. Allow us to give thee praise and song this morning. And we'll be careful to give thee the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. Amen.
Before you to lift the morning offering, this being the second?
Yes.
Sunday, thank you. Second Sunday of the month, special offering for today is for the building fund. And that offering may be placed in the center plate and your tithes and other offerings maybe place in the plate to the far left and far right as we file by. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful, dear God, for the privilege of prayer.
Amen.
We're so thankful, dear God, for the blessed hour of prayer, and we thank you, Lord, for the foregoing prayer, the prayer that you gave to Brother Byrie. Lord, we just thank you, dear God, that we can pour out our hearts to you, dear God, and thank you, dear God, and praise you, dear Lord, and offer our petitions up to you, Lord, and then wait on you, dear Lord, to answer our prayers. Lord, we thank you, dear Father, for providing for our needs. And we pray, dear God, that you would bless, dear God, each offering, each gift, each giver. And, Lord, that you would use both to your honor and to your glory. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would give wisdom for the use of these offerings. For, Lord, we realize, Lord, that it all belongs to you. And so, Lord, as we bring in our tithes and offerings, Lord, that the kingdom of God, Lord, might be blessed. We pray, dear Lord, that you would have your way, dear God, and show us your way, dear Father, as to what you would have us to do. Remember those who don't have to give, for we know, Lord, that you're able to pour out an abundant blessing even in that situation. Have your way and make us a blessing. And truly, Lord, we'll glorify your name forever. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Turn your hymnals to page 442 and your red hymnal is just the same today. Worship the Lord. 442.
Have you ever heard of Jesus, how he came from heaven to earth with the name of Mighty Richard, though a very humble birth? When the world was held in bondage under Satan's distal sway, Jesus healed the dead, great distresses. He is just the same today. Did you see the people gather round that relic holy man, bringing all the sick and suffering, coming to him all who can? See him look with great compassion as they faded by the way, how he called them gently to him. He is just the same today. He is just the same today. He is just the same today. Yes, he healed in Galilee, set the suffering captive free, and he's just the same today. Amen. Is it true that every sickness may be laid at Jesus' feet? All my troubles, cares, and sorrows, and I rest in joy complete. Yes, my friend, in every sadness, give my faith to him you pray. He'll remove with tender mercy, for he's just the same. Oh, that precious loving Jesus, his compassion still the same, for he sinful, suffering mortal, who seeks refuge in his name. He's the present invitation. Oh, you need not stay away. Come receive his healing favor, for he's just the same today. He is just the same today. He is just the same today. Yes, he healed in Galilee, set the suffering captives free.
Brother Jackson.
Amen.
Brother Quinn.
Amen.
We're still going to raise the name of the Lord up.
Amen.
God is just a few
praise
in number,
God.
But we're still going to raise the name of the Lord
Amen.
Up. We're
going
to sing this morning.
Amen.
His glory and honor.
Amen. Amen.
I just wish that I could have my cousin over there to join us too, to Maria, but I know that she has her hands full. Just for
yeah, Grandpa.
Grandpa's there. If Grandpa would. Oh my, my, my. The old account is settled long ago.
Amen. Amen. My Lord, my Lord.
All right. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for his goodness.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, have your way, Lord.
My Lord, my God.
There was a time I know when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled it long ago, long ago. Yes.
wash my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago.
Long ago,
long ago,
long ago, down on my knees.
Yes,
the old account was long ago. Hallelujah.
And the records clear today.
How he washed my sins away. When the old account was long ago. Amen. 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 It's good when you can settle something and then you look and say, that was long ago I settled it. Amen. Amen. Settle it. Settle it. Say you're going to serve the Lord and serve the Lord. Settle it. Amen. Thank the Lord. What was that other song? That other song touched my heart just before that. He's just the same today. He healed in Galilee, set the suffering captives free, and he's just the same today. That's right. He was able to heal us from sin, able to heal us from cancer, just the same today. He did that back then too. He healed them from different diseases, leprosy, all kind of stuff, still doing that today. And you are a witness, and so am I, of that, right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't count it short. Don't count him short. Jesus is still God Almighty. Amen. And he was healing then, and he's still healing now. He was saving then, and he's still saving now. You can be saved today. You can be healed today. Just believe in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Well, we thank the Lord. We come to a time when we now have to hear from the Lord. We've had a time of praise and honor to God, allowing our spirits to get stirred up a little bit. The Lord wants you to stir you up some, get you ready and to hear from his word. You know, we do that when we go out to ball games and stuff. They get the cheerleaders going and all that. Don't mean to use that as an example to gospel, but it is something that we do in this life. And then sometimes people come in here and be quiet and don't say that. But you do it there, you get all riled up and everything before your team comes out and they're cheering and carrying on. That's why they got them. Well, we get you stirred up, get you singing, get you clapping a little bit, thanking the Lord, realizing that he's getting to speak to us. He's getting ready to appear to us with his word and tell us how to. He's happy with us, he loves us, and he wants to guide and direct us as we go in and out this day. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's right. He wants our praise, so we thank the Lord. So at this time, we're going to look to the Lord and lift up our dear sister in prayer once again. We can never pray enough to ask God's blessings to strengthen and give guidance and wisdom in his word. So we're going to look to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we come before thee, always wanting to praise your name and call upon your name, O Father. And we realize, dear Father, without thee, we can do nothing. So as we come before thee, lifting up our dear sister this morning, Sister Patricia Blake, we realize, dear Father, that it was at a minute's notice, maybe in our hearts and in our minds, but it's not at a minute's notice in thy mind and in thy way. You were able to stand Peter up on the day of Pentecost without any notes, without any records, just get up and preach from his heart, from what he knew and what he had seen and who he had felt and who had touched him and who he had been with. So allow our dear sister to know that she has been with thee. She has been touched by thee. And thou hast blessed her this morning to be here and allow her to stand before us. Now allow her to go in the volume of the book, the strength of the word, and the word will take care of itself. Have thine own divine way. Bless and strengthen her this morning, dear Father. Guide and direct her footsteps. Guide and direct her thoughts, dear Lord. Allow your spirit as you said in your word, he will guide you into all truth. Now we are all here to receive what you have given her. Bless and have thine own divine way, and let us be careful to open up our hearts and our minds and listen in on the word of God this day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Giving glory to God this morning.
Amen.
Thanking him for saving my soul.
Amen.
Thank him for not leaving me,
amen,
nor forsaking me. Giving him glory and honor this morning. Giving honor to Brother Byron this morning. Thanking God, truly thanking God for him.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Amen. Feel his prayers. Thank God. As he said this, on our part, it seemed like a moment's notice. Amen. Thank God for his faithfulness. That's why the word says, be ye also ready.
Amen.
Because if we think that this hearing of Sister Jenkins' illness about 7 this morning was sudden, the coming of the Son of Man is going to be even more sudden.
Amen.
And so we have to be ready.
Yes.
I thank God for giving Brother Byron the prayer that he did.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
I thank God this morning.
Amen.
In our responsive reading, which was found in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 through 21. I would like to look at verse 21 from that 13th chapter of Hebrews. Well, verses 20 and 21. That will be our text for today. Lord bless.
Amen.
Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so we would like to consider the thought, Christian perfection. That 21st verse said, well, 20th verse said, now the God of peace. And then the 21st verse says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will working in you. So the Lord is requiring perfection, and that comes from the Lord working in us. I thank God for the prayer that he gave to Brother Byron. At one point in prayer, Brother Byron said we want the word of God to help us to walk perfectly before him by his word. And I said, well, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for that. Because Christian perfection comes about through the Word and Spirit of God. Through the Word and the Spirit of God. Not by us just trying. Or some people would say, well, nobody is perfect. Because that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says we have to be perfect in obedience to God. We've got to be perfect in our love for God. And if we're perfect in our love for God, then we will be perfect in our love one toward another.
Amen.
Knowing that God is able to help us to perfect our walk. But again, there are people who will say, well, nobody's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's perfect. But the Lord enjoined perfection in those of us who are called by his name, for those of us who are saved. So we can't just live any old kind of way. You can't just do any old kind of way. You can't just talk any old kind of way. You can't just have any old kind of attitude and say, well, I was just having a bad day. That is not godly.
Amen.
We can't just say, well, you know, you
no, you, well, you're saved. You've been saved a long time, but you've been saved for 40 years. I've only been saved for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm not as far along as you are. I'm persuaded that God in 20 years could have done more, something more for you than for you to be half-stepping for the Lord. I'm fully persuaded of that. So Christian perfection is required by God.
Amen.
Now, my mind goes to a recent occurrence that I guess started out last weekend. And you probably heard of it. A certain coach who used to be local with a certain local university who now is coaching a team in the Professional Football League, and his team lost to Cincinnati on, I believe, last Friday night. And instead of going back with his team, as is the pattern and the routine and the thing that they're supposed to do, especially when your team lost and your team hasn't won a game yet, lost four straight games, instead of going back with your team to encourage them or to watch and see what you can do better for the next game, this particular coach decided to stay in town and supposedly to see his grandchildren. But he forgot, not only does God see everything, there are people now walking around with cameras recording things. So not only does God see everything that we do, in fact, he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart before we even do these things. But not only does God see everything, there are people now with cameras that can videotape. They seem to pick up a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so this man was exposed for being out there without his wife and with some another woman and doing things that were unseemly and inappropriate. And they had it on camera. Because of the internet, it doesn't just stay on that one camera. They put it on blast. And they put it on and it goes viral, as they say. And it was everywhere. You almost couldn't turn for it. And people were talking about it everywhere. And he seemed to be, at first he seemed to try to avoid it. Then he had a press conference and seemed to, he kept looking down. He would never look up. He was looking down at his shoes the whole time. But not once did I hear him say, I've sinned against God.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, I sinned against my wife.
My.
He said, I made a mistake.
Mm.
I shouldn't have been there. That doesn't sound like repentance to me.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've been getting reactions from everyone, his family, his daughter. His wife had an interesting comment. And she said, well, at the time that he was out, she was at home bathing the grandchildren. He was out, and that was on Twitter with a little video. He was on Twitter also, and he wasn't bathing grandchildren. But his wife said, after all this had come out, she blamed people who were making comments on the computer, on Twitter. And then she said, he's not a perfect man. And then she said, well, we're all sinners. And if you're not, then cast the first stone. But that's not what the Word of God says. Let's turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. God has an expectation. There are many people walking around putting on a front or an image that they're godly, that they're a Christian, that they're various things, and then they get caught. And we know that according to the Word of God, there's nothing hidden that shall not be brought to light. So we really shouldn't be too surprised. And when all these different things come out, and sometimes football coaches, sometimes politicians, sometimes it's whoever, sometimes it's teachers, sometimes it's businessmen. But there's nothing here that shall not come to light. John chapter 8, we're going to begin with verse 1 because we want to look what his wife said is not exactly what the word of God says. And then Jesus told the woman something else. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman is taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us, now they're going to tell Jesus what the law says. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, we know that out of the entire group, Jesus is the one who was without sin. But he was speaking to this crowd who had brought her out into the midst. And again, he, meaning Jesus, stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they which heard, being conscious, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? So Jesus didn't stop the conversation. Jesus did not just say that he who was without sin cast a stone at her and then let that be it. There was something else that he had to say to the woman. And the others didn't stay around to hear the rest of what he had to say to the woman. Verse 11. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Here we are. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Amen. In order to have Christian perfection, we have to be forgiven of the Lord Jesus Christ for the sins that we have committed and go and sin no more. It's not just, well, you know, no one's without sin, because that's trying to excuse sin. And God does not excuse sin. God will reprove sin. God will forgive sin if we come with a contrite heart, but he will not excuse sin, and sin cannot be covered up. So if we're going to have Christian perfection, anything that is sin in our life has to be purged out, has to be gotten rid of. And this was always the will of God. This is not just New Testament. This is Old Testament also, because God is a perfect God, and he cannot stand to look on sin. God is God. And if we're going to worship him, if we're going to live for him, if we're going to say that we're a child of God, if we're going to say that we are a Christian, and people use that word so broadly, then we must understand that Christian means Christ-like, and Christ did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So we have to be like him. Again, that in the text, Hebrews 13, verse 21, we want the God of peace to make you perfect in every good work to do his will. So even if we're stiff-necked or stubborn or say, well, we're given a passage in the Word of God, either in Bible study or in a message that's preached, or perhaps we're just reading the Word of God, and we come across something that we don't agree with. And there are people who will actually read the Word of God and say, well, I don't agree with that. Who are we? We're in our Sunday school lesson, we're studying about Almighty God and the nature of God and who God is and who Jesus is. Who are we to say that we disagree with the Word of God?
Amen.
We are no one. We are the creation, not the creator. So we have no right whatsoever to say, well, I don't agree with that, so I'm just not going to do that. Because we cannot pick and choose out of the Word of God. The Word of God is not a menu where you can pick this item as your main course and this item, and then you just end with everything else. That's not what the Word of God is. So if we are to be perfected in Him, we have to be perfected by obedience to His Word. Christian perfection is affected through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, by obeying the Word of God and being led by the Spirit of God. And so we want the God of peace to perfect us, to make us perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. We've got to do that which is well-pleasing in God's sight. And God will not be pleased with sin in our lives. God will not be pleased with anything less than what He calls for us to be in His Word. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise our God. Shall we turn to Hebrews chapter 9? Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Because it's not God's will that our conscience not be clean. It's not God's will. This is the perfecting of the saints that we're talking about. It's not His will that we have dirty hands. By that I mean that we're doing works with our hands or with our life or with our heart, with our tongue, that are not pleasing in God's sight, that do not edify God. So Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 says, for if the blood of bulls and goats, we're talking about making reference to the Old Testament time, when they would make a literal animal sacrifice, the high priest would go in once a year and make sacrifice for his own sins and the sins of the people. But that had to happen every year.
Mm-hmm.
Once a year, the high priest would go in and make this sacrifice. But that sacrifice once a year was not sufficient to atone for the sins of the people forever. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. So that was sufficient under the law. But under grace, we have something better. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot, God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Verse 15, and for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So there was no promise of eternal inheritance under the law, but by the blood of Christ, purging our conscience from dead works to serve the living God, we have a claim on that eternal inheritance through Christ Jesus. So those things that are there, those dead works, must be purged. We have to have a perfection that God calls for us to have.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn to Genesis 17:1. We said that God did not just require perfection in the New Testament, the gospel dispensation. But God was always a perfect God, and God always required perfect obedience.
Amen.
Even when he spoke to Abram. Mm-hmm. And in 17 of Genesis verse 1, and this was before his name was even changed to Abraham. He was still called Abram at this time. But Genesis 17:1 says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Mm-hmm. Praise our God. We have to walk before the same way that God required it of Abram. He requires it of us. And we have the blood of Christ Jesus, and we have the Spirit of God to strengthen us and to help us and to guide and direct us. But in that verse, it just struck me that God appeared to Abram and told Abram who he was. Mm-hmm. I am the Almighty God. In other words, I have the power to command you to do what I tell you to do. Mm-hmm. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And God, what God demanded of Abram, that's what he commands of us.
Yes, Lord.
We have to be, again, perfect in obedience to the word of God. People might say, well, you know, nobody's perfect. I put in I was trying to bake cookies, and I put a pan of cookies in the oven, and I forgot, and they burned. And so, see, my cookies didn't come out right, so I'm not perfect. But we're talking about spiritual.
Amen.
We're talking about, we're comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Amen.
I mean, so I might go to add up some numbers and make an error in adding. I might go to read the Bible and I mispronounce a word. I'm so thankful that's not sin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful that is not sin. But when the Lord says, walk before me and be thou perfect, we've got to be perfect in love. We've got to be perfect in obedience. We've got to be perfect in unity in God and in the Spirit of God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Praise our God. Bear with me. Lord bless. I want the Lord to have his way.
My Lord.
Ephesians chapter 4. I pray that you're continuing to pray for me.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Well, let's back up just a verse or so. We'll go back to verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth let me back up. That's why I say I'm so glad that mispronouncing the word is not sin.
Amen.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them of the blindness of their heart. See, we don't want our heart to be blind. Notice it didn't say the blindness of their eyes. Mm-hmm. It said the blindness of their heart. So we've got to see God. We've got to obey God. We have to press for perfection in the Lord with our heart. Mm-hmm. We cannot afford to have a blind heart.
My Lord.
Who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And that greediness always strikes me every time I read that verse. People giving themselves over unto lasciviousness to work uncleanness with greediness. Can't get enough of this sin. But ye have not so learned Christ. We should not be found among those who are being described in those first two verses or three verses. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Now that word former That word former, it's something that you were, but you aren't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If some, I was a former math teacher. I'm a former math teacher. I was, but I'm not anymore. I was a sinner, but I'm not anymore by the grace of God.
Amen.
That he put off concerning the former conversation. And we understand the word conversation is not just talk. It's our conduct. It is our conduct. We put off concerning the former. That word former should mean something. That should mean that those old things that we did that were not pleasing to God, we don't do them anymore. That's perfecting holiness. That he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the mind has to be renewed also.
Amen.
So things that we used to think about, we don't think about those things anymore. Those things that we know were not pleasing in the sight of God. And sometimes that may mean that you have to turn off the TV and you don't watch programs that you used to watch. That may mean that you have to not go places that you used to go. That may mean you have to separate yourself from people that you used to go around. Because you have to be renewed in your mind. And we understand that the mind, the enemy will try to work with our mind. And the mind is vulnerable unless we have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man. So remember, we had to put off, in verse 22, we had to put off the former conversation. Verse 22, we had to put off. Verse 24, we have to put on. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, righteousness and true holiness, part of our Christian perfection. That's what God wants for us. That's what God has commanded for us.
Amen.
And that new man, says, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, we understand that when God created Adam, God created him upright. He created him holy. But Adam and Eve sought out something else that God told them not to. And so in disobedience to God, they fell from their uprightness. But God created Adam that way. It's upright, but Adam fell. When we're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, God creates us in righteousness and through holiness.
Amen.
And so we thank God for basically recreating us. And we're talking about a spiritual recreation.
Yes.
Thanking God for all that he has done, because he made us something that we were not.
That's right.
When we surrender unto him, he made us something that we could not be,
mm-hmm.
except for the blood of Jesus. And so we just thank God for all that he is able to do for us. We thank God because he saw fit. He had mercy upon us. But we also thank God because he is still pleading for souls. He is still talking to hearts and minds, because it's not that his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not his will that any be lost. But even as Sister Smith was saying in her prayer request, some will be lost. But the word of God says so. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to salvation.
Amen.
So, but we're told that few there be that find it. Broad is the gate and wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And so we know, according to the word of God, that there will be some who will not come to God. But we thank God that today, this day, right now, he is still pleading for souls. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. The Lord gives us examples in his word of some that the Lord deemed perfect in their generations. So once again, Lord told Abram, walk before me and be thou perfect. We saw that in back in Genesis 17. But there were others who were examples of perfection. Mm-hmm. Again, this is to refute people who say, well, you know, you can't be perfect in this life. But according to the word of God, God requires it. And God would not require something that is not possible. We're told with man, he said that when Jesus was explaining some things to those that he was talking with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Enoch was one who was considered perfect in his time. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's about. We talk about Christian perfection. It's pleasing God in all the ways that God requires us. Amen. We're going to read verse 6 as well. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So diligently seeking the Lord. Even after we're saved, we're still diligently seeking to know his will. We think about our week-long Bible study. We talked about drawing closer to God. That's working out our salvation with fear and trembling for Christian perfection in order to please the Lord, in order to please God. Let us look at Job, chapter 1. We understand that there are times that people look at Job as an example of suffering or patience in suffering. Some people look at him that way, but there is a place in and near the end of this book, Job, where God even becomes impatient with Job because Job was listening to his friends and the way that they were talking. Job started out fine. He told his woman she was his woman too. He told his wife when she said for him to curse God and die, he said, you speak as one of the foolish women. And he rebuked her. But then near the end of the book of Job, he began listening to some of his friends and began to question God. And then God began to lay it out for him. Where were you when I created all these things? Where were you when I created the world? Speak if you can say, where were you? To let Job know that he's still God. Job chapter 1, verse 1. But in his generation, God found Job to be a perfect man. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. So in his generation, God saw Job as a perfect and upright man because he feared God and he did those things that God commanded of him. Amen. So Christian perfection is not something new that God has just brought on during the gospel day. While we're in the Old Testament, let us turn back to Genesis chapter 6, talking about Noah now. Genesis chapter 6. I believe I'll begin at verse 1. And we'll read down through verse 9. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. So this is all that had been happening, all the things that had been happening. But then verse 5 says, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We're told, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. Does this not sound familiar to our times right now?
Amen.
And if God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth then, God sees that the wickedness of man is great in the earth now.
Amen.
Nothing has escaped his gaze or his attention. And God knew then that every man of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And as it is was then, so it is now.
Amen.
And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And that just lets us know sin can have an effect that can have the effect and the influence that it affects not only the one who's doing the sin, but others around. And so God said, I'm getting tongue-tied here this morning. God says not only would he destroy man, but beasts and creeping things from off the face of the earth, and the fowl of the air. Well, when God saw that wickedness, and God cannot bear to look on sin, God saw that wickedness, and God knew how he had created man and what man had gone on to be. In the same way as now Jesus has come, he died on a cross, he shed his blood, he rose again that we might be saved, and yet wickedness is great in the earth because people are rejecting the word of God, they're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, they're rejecting the one and only Savior that they will ever have. Wickedness is great in the earth. But verse 8, but Noah, in the midst of all that turmoil and all that wickedness, all that darkness, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, this should be an encouragement to us. In the midst of all that wicked generation, Noah was perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. In the midst of all this that we see going on around him, we can still walk perfect before our God.
Amen.
God is able to sustain us. God is able to save us no matter what is going on all around us. God expects for us to be perfect, to walk before him and to be perfect.
Yes.
Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. Seems that we're in Hebrews a lot today, but Lord bless. Praise our God. This is where we are. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. We know that under the old Mosaic law, there were ceremonies and procedures and sacrifices that they were to make at certain times of the year. And those were to atone for the sins of the people. We said that the high priest would go in and would make sacrifice for the people. We take the blood of an animal, because we know without shedding of blood is no remission. But those were a type. Those were a pattern for what God was going to send later on, for what we have been blessed to have, meaning the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Verse 20. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. So we have something better. We have better, something better than the blood of bulls and goats. And so God has a greater expectation of us to walk for him and be perfect. And be, as we said, to obey his word perfectly, to love him perfectly, to love his people perfectly. Because he gave us something better than what they had under the law. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. And that better hope is our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. And by him, we draw nigh unto God. There's no way for us to approach unto God except through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise our God. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, this goes on to explain what we're talking about, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So that we, that the Christian perfection that the Lord requires of us under the gospel could not be obtained under the law. We mentioned Abram. We mentioned Noah. We mentioned Enoch. We mentioned Job. They were perfect in their generation. But the perfection that God has for us is a perfection that passes through all generations. This is perfection that is within the plan of salvation. This is God's plan all along. I'm going to read that verse 1 again. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep on reading on down, because we have some other scriptures here we'll get to. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
Amen.
Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Amen. Praise our God. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. By his offering, I'm going to read down through verse 14. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. You can imagine the futility of, you know, the priest going in year after year, you're going to offer a sacrifice for the same sins that the people have been doing. Mm-hmm. And then they go away, and then the next year they come back and you're offering the blood of bulls or goats or heifers for the same sins that the people have been doing. And then coming in year after year after year after year. But the blood of Jesus. Amen. Shall we read? We're going to read on. Let me see. Where did I leave off? Verse 11? Mm-hmm. All right. I'll read that verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're studying about Jesus Christ in our Sunday school. Said, but this man, we studied about the fact that he is the Son of Man, that he's also the Son of God. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice, not sacrifice year after year after year after year, our perfecting, he offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By that one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So if one says that Christian perfection is not possible, then this one offering would be in vain, would it not? But that's not what the Word of God says. It says by one offering, he, our Lord Jesus Christ, hath perfected forever. Not just perfected for now, just not perfected for just this year, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And if we're sanctified, then we are obeying his word. The Spirit of the Lord is dwelling in us. Again, we're perfect in obedience to the Lord, perfect in love to the Lord, perfect in unity and oneness with each other and with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and with the Spirit dwelling in us. That's what Christian perfection is. That's how it was brought about, by our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has perfected forever by this one sacrifice, not year after year after year after year after year.
Lord.
Praise our God.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
Hebrews chapter 9. Lost my place. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 7, talking about how the Lord's able to perfect in us that he has created, this great plan of salvation that he has created. Hebrews chapter 9. We'll begin with verse 7. Again, we're doing a comparison here of what was a pattern before and the realization in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 7. But into the second went the high priest. Well, we'll begin at verse 6. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always to the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, meaning Jesus Christ had not died on the cross yet. His body was the tabernacle. The first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. So you see, they could go, the high priest back under the law, he'd go in and he'd make a sacrifice of the blood of the animals for the people's sins, but it didn't change the people's heart.
Amen.
It didn't change their conscience. They went out doing the same old thing. But the blood of Jesus Christ is able to perfect us, that we are not, we don't go out doing that same old thing. We don't go out looking to see, well, what can I do? Well, it's okay, it doesn't matter. Someone will go and make a sacrifice for me again next year. No.
Amen.
Because under the law, their conscience could not be made, could not be purged. Verse 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle,
yeah,
not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood,
amen,
he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And that's the only way we can serve the living God. Our conscience, we have to be purged from those dead works. You know, we're going back, you know, we're just kind of circling back around, kind of looking at this again. We read verses 13 and 14 earlier, but just to make sure that we're getting this, that the blood of Jesus Christ is what will perfect us.
Yes.
And there's nothing else, nothing before and nothing after. And there's no workarounds, and there are no 12-step programs, and there are no, we're doing the best you can, but it's by through the blood of Jesus Christ. Shall we look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 48? Praise our God. Matthew 5, 48. We talked about how in the Old Testament, back in Genesis, the Lord told Abram, walk before me and be thou perfect. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Amen.
That's the standard of our lives.
Yes.
That's what God requires of us. So daily we're walking. Daily we're perfecting. We walk in the light as it shines on our pathway. As we're walking, and as we say we're perfecting this walk, we look in the Word of God, we see something, or we someone says something in Bible study, brings up a scripture, and we see that God is showing us something that we need to be doing, then we walk in that not with light. Perhaps it's something we didn't know before, but when we see it, we don't say, well, I don't know about that. I'll have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen. Amen.
Better to obey and ask the Lord to give you understanding. Obey first, understand secondly. I'm persuaded sometimes the Lord is testing us. The Lord is not tempting us.
Amen.
But there are times that we're being tested to see if we're going to obey.
Amen.
We understand that when the Lord commanded Abraham to take Isaac out to sacrifice him, to take his only son, who he had waited until he was an old man, to receive, and God had promised that he would give him a son, and God gave him Isaac, and then God told him to take Isaac out to sacrifice him. And Abraham didn't say, well, Lord, I don't quite understand this, so I'm going to have to think on this for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
He just obeyed. We're told he got up early in the morning, and he took his son, there were others who were with them, he took the wood. And when they got there, he told the other young men who had traveled with them to wait. And he and his son went up to make the sacrifice. And his son said, well, Father, you know, here is wood, but where is the sacrifice? And he told him, God will give the sacrifice.
Amen.
My Lord.
I'm persuaded in the way that God tested Abraham's obedience. There are times when God will test our obedience. And there may be things that we don't understand. There may be things happening in our lives that we don't quite get. We don't understand. And we're not. It's not that we don't want to obey God, or we don't. Sorry, we don't want to disobey God. I'm going to say that right. We don't want to disobey God, but then hesitate. Kind of draw back. Kind of hesitate. I don't know. I'm not to study. Well, if it's clear that it's a commandment of God. You say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And, Lord, I'm sure you'll give me understanding when it's time. And I pray to the Lord the same way the Lord dealt with Abraham. There are times he deals with us in that way. Now, it's not for us to take our child out and sacrifice it, but there are other things that can happen in our lives where the Lord tells us, okay, you do this. You do thus and so. And we just need to obey the word of God, and then later on we'll understand it. And then many times I've heard testimonies by some said I didn't understand what was happening at the time, but now I see, now I know why the Lord had me to do what he did. Now I understand why the Lord had me to go such and such, or now I know why the Lord told me don't go there, stay home. Amen. So I'm persuaded that the Lord will bless us and help us to just obey, just be perfect in our obedience unto him. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm sorry, my 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Amen. And just said, finally, brethren, be perfect. No doubt the Apostle Paul had been speaking and teaching them other things. But he said, finally, brethren, just be perfect. Be perfect before the Lord. Obey God. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. We're told, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we have the mind of Christ Jesus, then we'll be perfect. We can live in peace. We can have peace with God. Amen. So then the God of love and peace shall be with you. We want God to be with us, don't we?
Amen.
We don't want the Lord to leave us dangling out there, twisting in the wind. We don't want that in any way. We know that God is able to keep us. We know that he said that he would. But we've got to do what his word says to. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. And after we're saved, the Lord wants us to go on. We'll go back into that chapter 5. And see how far back I want to go. We'll go back to chapter 5, verse 7, and then read down through chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 5, we'll begin with verse 7. But no, we'll go back to verse 5. We'll go back to verse 5. I want to be able to be sure to make the connection here. Hebrews 5:5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we see Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our high priest, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Let's go back and just to consider. That verse 7 says, who in the days of his flesh, when Jesus was in flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, we know when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, we're told that his sweat came down as drops of blood. And in this scripture, it says, with and he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. We know that God could have saved him from death. But then where would we be? And was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So even knowing that the cross loomed before him, even knowing the suffering that he shrank from, this awful death that he was to suffer, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hardly uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. We don't want to be dull of hearing, do we? We don't want to be dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So we're not talking about literal food. We're talking about spiritual food. We're talking about someone who has been professing salvation for a while and long enough so that the Lord should be able to use them to teach, to help someone else. But instead, they have to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God, the first things about salvation. Not only can they not explain it to someone else, that they claim to have, but they have to be told again and again and again. Wow. And we know there are many times in the New Testament where Jesus rebuked his disciples because they were so dull of understanding. And there were times when he said, have I been so long time with you? And yet you do not understand. I'm persuaded God, the Lord, is the same way with us. There are times when the Lord is saying to us, if we're going to be dull of hearing and not give our attention to get understanding, we're told, with all thy getting, get understanding. If we're not going to work on trying to get understanding, the Lord is not pleased with us. The Lord is not pleased with us sitting around, excuse me, with no understanding and not looking for any. God, the Lord does not want us to be plumb dumb in spiritual things. He just does not. That verse 12 again, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. That's not the way that we perfect our Christian walk. Just to sit around and you know, we don't think about the word. We don't. There are those who claim to be children of God. Well, I won't say. Most of the time, they don't say I'm a child of God. They'll say I'm a Christian. And yet, the word may be going forth, and they're not looking up scriptures. If they can't find them quickly, they're not even writing them down, not giving them consideration. There are some who will go to a service just waiting to hear some quotable quote, something that they found funny or amusing or something that they hadn't thought of, and go out and quote that. And then you ask them, well, what was the message about? What was the title of the message? And there's no answer there because there's no engagement. That's not Christian perfection. That's not even being fully invested, having our heart and our mind invested in the things of God. 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful. A word of righteousness, for he is a babe. We understand that a natural baby drinks milk. You cannot give a pork chop to a natural baby and expect for them to be able to do anything with it. They don't have any teeth. They don't have their digestive system, cannot even digest it. So they have need of milk, a babe. But when one has been around for a while, they should be able to take some, eat some meat. And so it is with the word of God. So it is with spiritual things. 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. Therefore, chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, this doesn't mean you're going to leave the word of God and go out, but leaving the basics. Mm-hmm. The basics. So no one should have to explain to you that you need to repent and stop sin. If you say that you're saved, no one should have to tell you that you're not supposed to sin. Because the basis on which you were saved is that you asked the Lord to forgive you of sin, to cleanse you from sin, and you make commitment, you make a vow to God that you will not sin anymore. Amen. That's a part of your salvation. That's the godly sorrow and the repentance. Repentance means to turn around. You're not going to live like you were living. But if you say that you're saved and someone has to keep explaining to you how you got saved, then one would wonder, are you really saved?
My Lord.
Did you understand at the time what you were doing? Did you understand that the vow that you made to God is binding on you? And if you don't do those things that the word of God says for you to do, you'll be held responsible. Now, those are the principles of the doctrine. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. What does it say? Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. If you're a child of God and you say you're saved, no one should have to tell you that you need to have some faith. Someone can encourage you in faith. We can read the word of God and the scripture says have faith in God. That's one of the shortest scriptures other than Jesus wept. We know that we have to have faith. We're told that without faith it is impossible to please him.
Amen.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we understand that we read about faith and we get encouraged in our faith, but no one should tell us, it should not be news to us that we have to have faith in order to be saved, that we have to believe, that if we're going to pray, we have to have faith when we pray. So we are not going over those old things again and again and again. We are to go on to perfection, perfecting our walk in the Lord.
Amen.
Praise our God.
Amen.
We said Christian perfection is effected through the word and the spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Thank the Lord. Ephesians 4, verses 12 and 13. We'll read verse 11, just the connection. starting with 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. This lets us know that the Lord sets the members in the body of Christ, in the church of God, as it pleases him. And he gives gifts, he places. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, we have to be like Christ. We have to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it says, for the perfecting of the saints. And notice, so we're, this is perfect, then I-N-G, perfecting. That's a current, that's an ongoing. Mm-hmm. That's a process that is ongoing. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the church of God, we are the body of Christ. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. So we've got to be one in unity. We've got to perfect that unity in one another. We've got to, that's to say that there should not be any division. There shouldn't be any separating, people falling out with one another in the body of Christ. So till we all come in, that is Christian perfection as well. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Beginning with verse 1, we'll read through the first three verses. Beloved, what manner of love? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That means we have to be like Christ right now. Mm-hmm. Said, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect in all of his ways, is he not?
Amen.
He is perfect in all of his ways. And so if we are the sons of God, when Jesus appears, it says we shall be like him. But in order to be like him then, we must be like him now.
Amen.
There's no changing, no quick change. Where we can, if we're unprepared to meet our God, there's no way that we can change ourselves and be meet for entering his kingdom. We won't be worthy. We won't meet the standard. We won't meet the measure. Everything that Jesus Christ was, he meant for us to be. And said, we're told that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so everything that he was in perfection, and that's why he took on flesh, so that we can know that we can walk in this life, we can live in this life, and yet live without sin. We're told he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Amen. Psalm 101, 2. 101st Psalm, verse 2. This should be our earnest endeavor. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Amen. The Lord would have us to walk before him with a perfect heart. He is able to make us that. And when I say make us, I mean enable us, not to force us, but to enable us to walk with a perfect heart before him. Our way before him should be perfect. Man, there should not be someone who can say, well, yeah, but you don't see him on the job. I see the other side of them. There shouldn't be any other side. There should be nothing. There shouldn't be like a front side that everyone else sees and then a back side that where there's things that are not pleasing in God's sight. That's not God's will for us. Amen. Praise our God. 1 John chapter 4. In the 1 John chapter 4, we're talking about what is required of us to perfect this walk. And one of those things he says is to be perfect in love. 1 John chapter 4, we'll look at verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Amen. So if we love one another, then God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. And the love of God is in us and perfected in us. We've got a Christian perfection that the Lord requires us to have. Verse 17, same chapter. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us.
Yes.
Did he not first love us? God gave his only begotten son. Jesus gave his life. Certainly, we should seek to perfect that God requires of us. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Some people say, well, I draw the line on that one. You just don't know my family. And my answer to that is, well, you just don't know God. Praise our God.
Yes,
Lord. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. Praise our God. We're so thankful that God can enable us, the love of God can put his love in us so that we can love what some people would call the unlovable. We can love in spite of, not because of. We can love because the Lord said, walk before me and be thou perfect. Praise our God. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 22. Praise our God. Hebrews 12, 22. children of God, we've left what we were and we've come to something so much better. Verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Beautiful. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Through the word of God, through the spirit of God, through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the spirit of just men made perfect. It just doesn't say, well, nobody's perfect. Because through God, we can be perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not earth only, but also heaven. The voice of God, the word of God will shake, shook the earth then. We know that there were thunders and so on when he spoke from Mount Zion. But now he shakes the earth and heaven. Meaning he's able to take our lives, our sinful lives. We're in sin. He's able to turn them from something earthly, sensual, sinful, to something that's heavenly and perfect in his sight. That's what the voice of God, the word of God, the spirit of God is able to do. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. When we have Christian perfection, we're walking with the Lord, the devil can't shake that. In the same way that Satan could not overcome the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness, we can take a stand for the Lord. When we're walking before the Lord, perfecting holiness, the devil cannot get the upper hand on us. 28, wherefore are we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved? Now that assumes that we're walking before him and being perfect. Yeah. Then we are receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved. It says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And because our God is a consuming fire, he's able to perfect in us our heart, our mind, our thoughts, our walk, our daily activities, so that whatever we do is pleasing and right in his sight. And he gives us his word to do that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture, doesn't say just the ones that I like, doesn't say just the Psalms, but it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, amen, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is God's will that we be perfect before him, perfect in love. It's not God's will, as we said, that any should perish. For those who say, oh, No one can be perfect. You have to understand what Christian perfection means. And that is what God requires of us, that we may be and do everything that is pleasing and right in his sight. Amen. And in closing, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Praise our God. It's the Lord's will that we perfect this walk. It's the Lord's will that we not neglect the way to salvation. It's not God's will that we should let anything slip, but that we should perfect this Christian walk. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Because we said the word of God, the Christian perfection is effective, is brought about through the word and the spirit of God. Verse 28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's the Lord's will that we be perfect in Christ Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Since his blood was shed to atone for our sins, we don't want that atonement. We don't want that shedding of blood to be in vain on our behalf. And if we've been redeemed through the blood, we certainly don't want to do anything that would cause us to fall short of the grace of God. We don't want to frustrate the grace of God. We want to go on to perfection, even as the Lord commands us to. So may the Lord bless and keep you. This is my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sister. Thank the Lord for the message, the messenger. So many good scriptures given, but that very last scripture, in whom we preach, that is what we just heard, was the preaching of God's eternal word. And in whom we preach Jesus Christ. And that's who she preached was. Jesus Christ is the one that is able to make us, give us Christian perfection. Teaching men to perfect men. I'm not going to go back over all the scriptures, but there were just some highlights in there because God gave her the word this morning. But she said in there today, God knowing the thoughts and the intent of the heart. God knew that when we got up this morning and when we started getting dressed and made our way to the house of God. God knew the intent of why you're here today. You know what? And that's pleasing to God. There was another thing she said, pleasing to God, thought and the intent. Pleasing to God to be here today, to hear his word and to sit under his word. Then she spoke about not picking and choosing, but eating all of it. Talks about that over Revelation. This little book, take it. There was only one worthy to open the book. Once it was open, he told us to eat all of it. All of it. So it's not pick and choose, but eat all of it. We try to tell our children, you set a plate down in front of them, you put all the good stuff on her, eat all of that. Stay there until you eat all of it. So the Lord wants you to eat all of it. That's how you're going to grow, because she talked about growing, getting off of milk, and getting on to something solid, some good food. Like they used to say, that'll stick to your ribs. So you need something going to stick to your ribs. Milk ain't going to stick to your ribs. But good food, solid food, will stick to your ribs. That's what they used to teach. Amen. And And this will renew your spirit and your mind. She spoke about renewing, having a renewed spirit in the Word of God and a renewed mind. This is the only way that God can use you, if your mind and your spirit has been renewed. He spoke about that back in the Old Testament. I believe back in there where he talked about, I'll take out the stony heart, put in a new heart, and give you a new spirit. So the Lord wants all of man to be new. That way that old man isn't perfect, but that new man can be perfect. Amen. And then a better hope, we draw nigh to God. Amen. Amen. So thank the Lord for the message today, the messenger. At this time, we'd ask, does anyone have a desire to receive the Lord that knows not the Lord, or something that was said that is speaking to your heart, your mind? And the Lord even said in his word that will prick your heart and your mind. The altar's open, prayer room's open for help in the Word of God. So we truly thank God. We thank him for his blessing. Thank him for speaking to us today about Christian perfection. Not just any old kind of life, but a perfected life in Christianity, or a man of God. I believe in being called a disciple or children of God. Everybody's running around with the label Christian, even though I'm not taking from the message using the word Christian. But there's so many Christian this, Christian that, Christian this. But truly children of God, perfecting being children of God. Amen. Do we have a song?
Page 410, we worship the Lord Jesus, pays it all.
Page 410 in the Worship the Lord. And 410. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. My Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I will wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Let us stand. Jesus paid it all. To him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. In that last verse, that before we sing that last verse, this song is letting us know that Jesus paid it all. For sin. His blood is what has washed it. And in that last part of that song, it says, sin had left a crimson stain. if you surrender your heart to the Lord, had is past tense. You don't have to continue in sin. That's what that's letting you know. He is able that you can say, that was the old life, but now I'm washed white as snow. Amen. Let's just think about that as we sing that last verse.
Oh. When before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Amen, amen. You know, in that first portion of that verse, it says, and when before the throne I stand in him complete. That's what the message was about, was being perfected. Complete has reference to being in perfection. So let us understand that this word of God was given to us for a purpose and a reason this day. And it won't go in vain or return unto God void in any type of way. It has gone forth. We are responsible for what we heard today about perfecting this life in Christ Jesus. Now let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come before thee, truly want to say thank you for the words you have given us. You gave us ears to hear your word. We are here before thee at thy throne, and we ask now that you would open up our hearts to receive and take it in and walk in the light that you have given us this day. Allow us to perfect the perfecting of each and every one of us by your word and by your spirit. You have taught us this day that a Christian life must be perfected. And if we know thee or know thee not, we still have a responsibility of being obedient to your word this day. Because the word of God went forth for both saved and unsaved. So we ask that thou would grant your blessing upon each and every one of us. We thank you for the messenger. We thank you for the words that you gave her. Now she has given it unto us, what you have given her. Allow us to walk in it and be perfect. Have thine own divine way, and let us be careful to praise thee, honor thee, and glorify thy name. Amen. Amen. Truly thank God for each and every one that's here. You may be seated. Thank God for his word. Thank God for the messenger of his word. Sister Blake truly was a blessing to hear you stand before us and give what God had given you, even if it was in a moment's notice. You know, that's how we walk in this life. We don't know who we're going to meet when we walk out these doors. We don't know when we walk in the grocery store, and at a moment's notice, somebody might notice us and say, could you help me? Could you tell me a little bit about how you walking? You got a smile on your face. I'm having a hard time. I just want to be able to smile like I see you smiling. Looks like you're walking free. And then you got to be able to tell them something at a moment's notice. At a moment's notice. So we thank the Lord for being saved and being able to
share what the Lord has given to us. So we thank the Lord for his word this morning. Any thoughts on the message from anyone this morning? Hey, Sister Smith? Amen, 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 amen. Yes. Amen, amen. All righty, thank the Lord. Well, we truly thank God. Sister Webb. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Giving God thanks for what you heard today. Now it's our Sister Holmes. Amen. 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 All right. Amen. 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 Well, thank the Lord for those that are able to glorify God. I truly thank the Lord for the message myself and all the, you know, it made me think about the guy I'm trying to, you know, been witnessing to at work. You know, you went into some of those back there in 1 John, the third chapter. And, you know, and it just opened it up just a little bit more in understanding that I've shared with him some scriptures to show him that this life is about living free from sin. Why would Jesus die so that we could just continue as we are? There would be no reason, no purpose to. There's no purpose to die that we continue in the same way. Because it wouldn't have helped us. But his death and his blood is there to help us. Amen. So thank the Lord for just understanding and light wisdom of knowing to serve God. Amen. Well, if there's no other thoughts, I'll read them. Are you going to read those? Not trying to shirk my duty, but I'm trying to fill some very good shoes that stands over here on the normal basis, and not that easy all the time. Amen. The announcements for Sunday, October the 10th, 2021. Always pray one for another during the week. 1 Samuel 12:23. And 12:23 says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." So we have a responsibility to pray for one another. You know, and that there's just an understanding right there. There's knowledge of his word to know that if we cease praying, that's sin to God. To not say, "I ain't praying for him. I ain't praying for him." That'd go back to like Moses. They're stiff-necked. They ain't going to change. Where did you get that? You know, where do... See, the Lord died for us, yet while we were sinners. So we have to be open. The canister is always available for contributions towards the November turkey giveaway to the community. The date is Saturday, November 13th, starting at 9 o'clock. Choir to meet next Sunday following morning service. Is that... Okay, I thought they did that this past Sunday. I got the right one, don't I? Yeah, okay. Huh? Oh, okay, so they're doing that a little more regularly now. Okay, all right. Materials from our fall Bible study 2021 have been placed on the table in the foyer for participants who listed in via telephone, listened in via telephone. All right. Let's see. Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. It says song leader here, but that's when we come here. Please remember to turn your phones off 1 hour before service, then turn them back on. So they want your phones to rest so that they won't be have so much static in them. And pray for the leader, Brother Byron Johnson. Amen. Happy birthday blessings to Officer Todd Myers, the 11th. And that's our officer that's out in the parking lot. So if you see him, well, he's probably already gone now. But, yeah, but wish him happy birthday the next time you see him. See, our bus driver, Brother Pierre Johnson, was today. Thank the Lord for all safety. And next Lord's Day, next Lord's will be Sister Melita McElroy. And we see on here all of these still on our sick and shut-in list, and hold them up in prayer, just like 1 Samuel told us to do. Hold these up in prayer that that the Lord may bless and strengthen them in body. Thought for today, Christians live around the world, but gather at the foot of the cross. Amen. Let me read that again. Christians live around the world, but gather at the foot of the cross. Amen. So wherever we are around the world, we all still gather around one cross. One cross. 1 foot of one cross. There was only one worthy to go up on that cross and die for us, and that was Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if that being all, we'll stand. Ask Brother Levester to dismiss us. Any other announcements from anyone before he dismisses us? All right. All righty, Brother Levester. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
God bless you, sister.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank the Lord for you. Amen.
Oh, you could tell it was cold.
Yes.
Yeah, I can
tell.
Well, you're warmer than I am.
Yes, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the spirit of Jesus. You got the fire this morning. You got the fire.
The spirit, I
tell you. She's on fire. Amen.
You got them in the
fire.
I know, but the
spirit is on fire. Amen. Amen.